This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt. We are on episode 13 of the season. Unlucky and probably coincides with what we're going to talk about today, I suspect. We're just going to get into everything QPR over the last couple of weeks. But before we do, let me just introduce who's on the pod today. We've got Ollie from Up the Arse. Welcome return in the new year. You okay, mate?
Yep, buzzing with the results recently as well, so ready for a chat.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Jack Supple, welcome back again, mate.
Yeah, cheers, lads. Good to speak to you. And it's going to be a therapy session, this one, I think.
Yeah. And we've also got, the Johan Barbe of the podcast, Duncan McCready. How are you, mate?
I'm good, but I might do like a Johan Barbe and move to France. Get away from QPR.
Can you bring it back with you?
Yeah.
Right then, lads. Where do we start? I mean, we should start with Fleetwood. As if it wasn't written anyway, as if, you know, it wasn't not going to happen, as if, you know, I went into watching that game thinking we're going to win this 4-0 easy. I don't think it was just ever going to happen. Another cup defeat. What is that? 51? Is it 51 games with the record that we've knocked out? I'm sure Jack will correct me if I'm wrong. There's a couple of questions in this, and that is, what's causing... why are we so rubbish in cups, right? For one. Especially to lower league, right? And also, what went wrong on Saturday in particular, right? Because I didn't see anything wrong with the team selection. I mean, I know Nico came in, a left back, but, you know, Kenneth Powell probably needed a rest. I don't know, maybe. He's our backup left back. If he can't turn up away to Fleetwood, I don't know. We know he can't anyway. But other than that, I thought the team was strong enough to go there and get a result. Jack, what were your views, mate?
Yeah, well, you were right about that stat. I feel like I've had this one just circling every year almost, yeah. Just to repeat. So we've been knocked out of the FA Cup third round 51 times, which is more than any other side in the competition's history. And it was also the first time Fleetwood have ever reached the fourth round of the FA Cup. So we make dreams happen, QPR. And also this season, we got knocked out to lower league teams in both domestic cups. That's the first time that's happened in the same season since 2014-15 under Harry Redknapp, where we went out to Burton and Sheffield United. So we kind of threw those away, bonus games, giving squad players the odd appearance here. Say, here you go, impress me. And obviously they didn't. To answer your question, I think more so what was wrong on Saturday. I mean, I don't know how many times they have to keep trying with Hammerlinen, but he's not up to it. But it wasn't just him. There were a lot of performances there where the complacency was reeking off them. I felt so sorry for the fans that travelled up there because, yeah. As we could all say, as QPR fans in our gut, we knew what the likely outcome was. But as I agree with you, though, that starting 11, that's enough to beat Fleetwood. And then on the bench, there was enough to come off and change it. Unfortunately, Critchley didn't react quick enough with the subs, in my opinion, to maybe turn it in the second half when it needed to be turned before that goal went in. But if the players are going to phone it in like that, we got no chance. It was abysmal. It was a disgrace. And I'm sick to death of seeing QPR phone it in the cup. It is just like a malaise of the club with these competitions that are so sad to see. We'd love a cup run. We flirted with it briefly a few years ago. Remember Portsmouth away, you know, that season. It's great. Look at the atmosphere and the money it generated for the club. For a club that pleads poverty, we should be taking these competitions more seriously. But it's an attitude problem. And for me, it's just not good enough. I mean, and I want to single out a player here. I think Dizel needs to buck his ideas up. Otherwise, he's not going to make it at QPR. It's 58 games QPR, no goals from midfield, 2 assists. He doesn't do enough. He doesn't take the game by the scruff of the neck. That game was there for him to insert, you know, impose himself. He didn't do anything in that game. It's not good enough.
I can't disagree with anything. I don't think anyone, I don't think anyone listening would probably disagree with anything you just said there. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. Ollie, obviously, if you've got anything to add to that, but also one person I want to bring up who really annoyed me at the weekend, aside from Hammerlein and a couple of the others, was Chris Willock. I can't tell you how lackadaisical I watched him specifically in the second half. I'm telling you, he did not move more than a 15-yard radius, and he couldn't have been any closer to the right back. He made that right back, I don't know, I think he was a young lad, it looked any better. I bet that young lad's probably had a sleepless night thinking it's going to be a tough night tomorrow. He can't believe, you know, I bet he can't believe that. He probably thought he was unbelievable, which he had a good game. But my point was, Chris Willock never really took the game to him in any way, did he really? Hold him off a few passes. But in the second half, he looked like I can see him complaining a lot to Chair. He was in his ear a lot. So I don't know what they were saying, but I assume that he wasn't happy with something. But yeah, Ollie, I don't know if you can add to any of that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in complete agreement with both of you. I think, if anything, it's more mentality over ability that let us down. I think you just need to look at the body language of some of the players on the pitch to see that they weren't overly interested in the game. I think that's the problem. I feel like if we had come up against a bigger side, we probably would have played a lot better because we're going out there as underdogs. And I think QPR have always played better as underdogs.
Why is that? But yeah, is that? Why does that always happen? What causes that? I just don't get it. It's like you can't win anything like that. You can't do anything if that is the mentality that you've got. As you turn up on the big games, and then when it comes to like Rotherham and Peterborough at home, we just crumble every time.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of we've got in the grand scheme of things, we've got a pretty young team. I think we do lack a bit of experience in the team in terms of age. You know, we don't have a Clint Hill anymore. We don't have a Joey Barton in the midfield anymore that's going to kind of say, look, these aren't pushovers. We got to go out there and give it our all. I think that's what we're lacking at the moment. You know, people talk about bringing in older players. It's backwards. But I think that's what we're missing at the moment. And, you know, I don't see anyone, bar maybe Chair and to an extent Jimmy Dunn as well, actually shouting across the pitch trying to get people going, whereas, you know, back in the day you had like 4 or 5 of them that were just drilling it into people's heads. And I think as well Willock, I don't think he's been himself for a few months now. I think, you know, he started the season, once he got 8 goals in the league this season, which, you know, I think is kind of obvious that he doesn't trust his hamstring. But again, you know, you can't go off purely basing it off of hamstring, because he doesn't even look like he wants to take on players, and that's a massive problem. It's a player that we were talking about being worth 15, 20 million now. I think we'd be lucky if we get 8 at the moment. So yeah, I'm in agreement that I don't think any of them are good. One thing I will say is, when you're playing against a cup team, I don't think, as much as people will disagree with me, I think it's good to stick out players like Armstrong on the pitch, Taylor Rich, young players that want to prove themselves, QPR are going to fight a lot more than the players that have solidified their place in the starting 11 in the Championship. Stick a few youngsters in there and they'll take on players. We've seen it with Armstrong before. Who was it against in pre-season? He's running up and down the wing with no issues. That was something that we lacked, and that is something that we've lacked all season.
Yeah, agree. Doug, I don't know, obviously... if you could add any more to any of that, or especially on this mentality thing, because I think it's something within the club personally. I think Critchley put out, I thought interview, I mean, we'll go on to Critchley a bit more detail in a sec, but his interview was as good as you probably could have wanted off the back of that, where he highlighted a lot of the issues and things that we're all thinking. He did put a good enough team out, right? So there, it's on the players. Is that right or is that fair?
Well, obviously, the manager can only do so much, can't he? He's picked, well, we all agreed, the team wasn't weak. We weren't playing 11, we didn't make 11 changes. We didn't have 11 youth players on the pitch. It was a fairly decent team. But he's got to have set them up and said to them, right, go out and play, go out, express yourselves, like, harry them, press them. Like, so he's given us instructions. So is it not clear instructions, or are the players just like, it's Fleetwood, like, this should be easy. We should be able to do like a training game and we should still be able to win. Like, I can't imagine a manager not firing up the team for any game. So it purely has to come down to the players. And I completely agree with Ollie. We have no leaders at all, really. No, I would say like an old school central midfielder, like Steph. We miss Steph on the pitch. Maybe not like obviously with his ability, but it's actually what he does on the pitch, who he talks to, how he talks to them. And it's that element of the game we are really struggling with. There's nobody who's going to get people by the scruff of the neck and say, you're not playing hard enough, you're not working hard enough, come on. Someone needs to give Willock a kick up the arse, because he's literally, like Holly said, the last couple of months, he's not performed at all. And he could have done with being rested and dropped for that game. Like, Jack said earlier, it's infuriating at the minute.
Historically, in the Cup, though, we've just always been a terrible Cup team. Doesn't matter who's been playing. We've had experienced players in the past. I mean, you look at the record, that was an old record. I'm sure we have a lot of experienced players on that side, and we still... It just runs deeper for me than that. I don't know... It's frustrating, isn't it? I don't know exactly where it comes from, or any one particular, but how can you be... it's just so frustrating, isn't it, in the Cup? I thought Dickie and Dunn weren't great either against two. And do you know what? I looked at those two those centre forwards and I thought they're going to cause them some trouble. They were big lumps, weren't they? Big centre forwards and getting in behind, and I thought they were going to cause trouble. They missed a couple of open goals, didn't they, as well? I remembered that the next day.
I mean, the goals we conceded, again, set piece goals, really sloppy, really got done with a bit of blocking. Dunn got done by a bit of blocking, didn't he? And equaliser, and then the second goal was a joke as well, suspicion of handball, but still no one's taking control. And what Duncan Ollie said, we're lacking leaders, we're lacking someone to, you know, give them a right bollocking or calm them down. Or because you remember the impact, we were struggling that season under Warnock, and then the window where we signed Austin, Johansson and Device and Field, especially Austin and Johansson, those sort of characters really lifted a young group, and you could see it was transformative. Obviously, we've missed Stephanie Hansen for that reason this season. And when he's played, we obviously were much better for it points-wise and win percentage, etc. I feel like, you know, we need another injection of experienced, gritty, determined professionals. Obviously, we need goals. I mean, there's lots of different rumours floating about on Twitter. But do you trust the club to get it right at this point? I mean, such as our, you know, our transfer record in recent seasons is a bit hit and miss. Have we got the money, and have we got the capabilities to identify the right sorts?
Yeah. Our attacking issues are clearly evident. We you know, watching us attack we're just so slow sometimes. We haven't got that. I don't know where it's gone. Like, these players can do it, can't they? Like Willock and Chair can, but they're just sort of labouring around, passing it to the side. Chair. Doesn't, and I like Chair, but sometimes he goes too far, doesn't he, with his going across, not going across. Sometimes just get it in. Dykes plays every minute of every game, doesn't he?
Because I get the feeling that, like, with Willock and Chair, they don't trust some of the other players on the pitch to be at the same level or do the things that they're capable of. Like, you'd think you could put a ball into the box with Dykes and you'd think he's a big unit, he could put himself on it, but they don't put the ball in the box for him. Like, why is that?
And when they do, he's not there. He's at back post lingering. He's not going near post, or he's in the penalty spot. He's not making the runs. Or when he does, as you say, when he does make the run, he doesn't get the ball. The goal scoring is an issue. 4 goals in our last 11 games, and not more than once in any of those games. We failed to score.
It's evident, though, isn't it, Jack? Like, you, when you watch, you can see that we aren't going to do anything. Like, you could just see it. Like, it's just...
Yeah, absolutely. And, like,
it's frustrating.
What's concerning is, as we all see, we've failed to score 11 times out of 28 games this season, which is already as many times as we failed to score last season in 52 games. So, you know, in terms of percentages, we've failed to score in nearly 40% of our games this season, which is the highest since the 2008-09 campaign, which was the Ian Dowie, Paulo Sousa, Gareth Ainsworth, you know, four-year plan era, where we just couldn't buy a goal with De Carmine up front. So we're struggling, and it tells its own story when your goalkeeper, Denny Dieng, is the best shot conversion rate at the club with 50%. Two efforts, one goal.
Oh, God. On the striker situation, why have we let Bond go when he's, I don't feel he's really ever been given a lot of chances apart from 15, 20 minutes. How many games has Bond started for us in the, like, the time he's been at the club?
We've got the highest percentage of sub appearances against total appearances in the history of QPR. So
that's what I mean. Like, but we just let another striker go. Surely that means we're getting somebody else in. Mm. If not, the club's recruitment has been diabolical.
He started 10 strikers, 10 starts and 44 appearances. Bon. So did he get a fair crack?
Is that over what, 3 years?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, since 2021 season.
He didn't, but there must be stuff going on behind. What I don't understand is why we kept him in the summer. Why did we just let him go? What was the point in? We've got nothing back from him, nothing. If a club come in for him and wanted to pay 10% of his wages, we should have just done it. Like,
There some sort of agent tomfoolery right on deadline day where they sensed we were trying to get Jamal Lowe on deadline day and needed to clear Bond first, and then the Bond's agent tried to negotiate different, like, change the goalpost, basically, and the club... You know, drew a hard line.
We left to the last day again, though. Yeah, but even so, the last day of the window, like... Ugh.
And that's a bugbear as well. We're 10 days in. I know it's not as easy as that, as clicking your fingers and finding players, but there should be, like, a list of players and targets, what they've known for weeks since the World Cup. And, you know, we need reinforcement. So, what's going on? You know, questions got to be asked.
Regarding, sorry, the Dyche situation and that kind of stuff, you know, he said about putting the ball in the box. The ball gets put in the box so often. I think it was, what was it against? I can't remember who it was against, but we put in, I think, the ball 29 times into the box. I think, I can't remember who it was against. It was a few weeks ago. I think, you know, people say, oh, Dykes doesn't get the service. He gets the ball in the box. He's just never in the right position to head it into the goal. And I think that's where, you know, we've seen, obviously, Ashley Barnes that's been linked with us recently, and obviously Lowe as well. I think them two, obviously Lowe's played on the wing last season, didn't he, in the Championship majority of the time. I think as much as people say we need a striker, I think we need a winger just as much. Because I don't think we offer anything on the wing, really.
You're right there, Ollie. It was Luton. 26 crosses from open play into the box.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you need a target, man. I know people say, oh, Ashley Barnes is an old man. Stick him up front. He'll score goals with his head if the ball's put in. Have a winger that put a ball in the box would be great.
I'd take Lowe and Ashley Barnes all day long. Yeah. We need pace, mate. We need something that gets us out when we're, like, getting behind. It winds me up that Dykes never goes in behind. And even when he does, the odd occasion when it accidentally goes, like, off someone and over, he could be miles ahead and it's still a race, isn't it, to see who gets to the ball. He's never, like, clear, which is frustrating. I don't mind Dykes, but I think that he's being overworked. I think he doesn't help himself. I don't think he's a natural finisher. I don't think he's got any instinct in his body to be able to finish. But what I do think he can do is come on at 60 minutes and cause a bit of havoc if we need him to. You know, like, I think he can do that. I think, but at the moment, we're relying on only him to play a whole 90 minutes of every game.
For £3 million, and I think that makes an impact, isn't it?
Exactly. So I think we've seen Lowe. What's the lad at Leeds? Geldhart, is he? He's available. There are strikers out there.
That's the thing. As well as that, we saw the stat recently, the QPR only convert 25% of their big chances, which is just appalling, isn't it? Second worst in the league behind Millwall.
Well, just on that, Ollie, I mean, Dykes, if we're going to really single out someone, Dykes has missed 9 big chances. So opt to define big chances like literally where the player is expected to score. It's a one-on-one, it's from close range, under little pressure. That's a penalty is a big chance. And only 3 players have missed more. And since he joined the Championship, only Dominic Solanke's got more missed big chances than Dykes. So it's a concurrent issue. It's not going away. He needs support. We can't be a championship. It's difficult when you see teams like Luton with four strikers, two or three on the bench, smaller budget than ours. Like, you can't have one striker in the championship in your squad. End of. That's you just
and a 19-year-old. A 19-year-old and someone who you don't want to play. Like, I just cannot believe how we've managed to... When you look back to August, how we let ourselves do that. I appreciate Roberts. I think Beale was going to play Roberts as a forward, wasn't he? I think that was the plan.
Yeah.
But I've got questions about him as well. I don't...
I've got a question. Is it, can we send him back?
Yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't be gutted. Would you be gutted? I wouldn't be gutted.
I don't think he's offers us anything. I think he's been just as poor as Dykes when he's even been fit enough to be on the pitch.
His body language the other day was appalling when he played, wasn't it? It was absolutely dog walk, awful.
He's another one who gets blown over as well. He's always on the floor looking for fouls, isn't he? I don't know if you've noticed that recently. I have anyway. He just like always get knocked off the ball and like, you know, puts his legs out for a dive. Doug, got a question for you, mate.
Okay.
Where does Les Ferdinand and the board... Okay, let me rephrase that question. If we continue with this bad run of form, okay, do we think that Critchley will be getting up the majority of the, you know, the hate, if you like, or do you think that it's going to start turning on the board and Les? I'm already seeing a little bit. It feels like it's going that way because ultimately some of these big decisions that are being made at the club, it's got to be made accountable at some point, right?
The thing is, like with managers, they always get the brunt of it because it's a results business. But actually, if they're not being given the backing and the recruitment from the board and the scouting network is as bad as ours has been, okay, we occasionally get the odd gem. We got picked up Easy, we picked up Chair, we got Willock. Like, we do get the odd gem, but I reckon 80% of our transfers flop. Like, especially the ones we get in on a permanent. We seem to do all right occasionally with loans, get the odd loan in that it seems to work, but permanent transfers, how many players we bought that have gone on to be a success for us massively? There's not many. I think, like, realistically, our anger should be aimed at the board. Whereas we've got no money. We've had no money for the last three or four seasons, really. Like, I know we've spent money on Dykes and Bond, but that wasn't a lot of money. What, 5 million in total for the two of them? Like, there's plenty of other championship clubs spending a lot of money. Exactly. Because their owners are happy to put money in. Our owners don't want to put any money in.
Yeah, but I guess that's kind of true, kind of not true. I.e., they do put money in, but to keep us running, right? Do they pay the check to keep...
Yeah.
But my point is, you can only pay us... You can only spend what you're allowed to spend with the FPP or FFP.
So where is Fernandes?
I don't understand how some of these clubs are spending loads of money. Like, I don't get it.
Well,
just seems to have an endless pit of money.
You've got a three-year cycle, with FFP. FFP works in like 3-year cycles. So as long as you're under the 30 million mark at the end of the 3 years, every 3 years, you get away with FFP. But obviously, since we had the big fine, we don't seem to spend anything. And we're not recouping a lot of money from players, really, apart from Easy. Who else have we sold for anything?
Yeah, you can't keep getting the strikers wrong. You can't tear up contracts on, you know, like tear up a mutual termination with Bon when he, you know, the methodology behind the transfers is to buy a player on a relatively low fee and fatten them up the market kind of thing. It breaks down when you do this, you know. So it puts us in a difficult situation. And I think, I don't know about you, but you can kind of sense with each manager they get quite a big say in what players they want to sign. There's Warburton signing his old boys. There's Bill signing players he's worked with before. He's worked with everyone, apparently. And like with, you know, Critchley, we're yet to see what's going to happen. And if the director of football and the recruitment is like the model that we're going, then surely it shouldn't matter who the manager is. There should be the players assigned from up above, obviously with the manager's blessing, but like so that you're not veering too far one way, then going back the other way, signing different types of players all the time. So I don't know. I feel like we contradict ourselves a little bit when it comes to the permanent signings, especially.
Yeah. I'll also say, like, I think sometimes I forget that as much as QPR is our beloved football club, it is also a business for these owners as well. But I don't feel like, I feel like they're not investing in the business. I'm not expecting them to, you know, go and spend £5 million on a striker. But, you know, there's a lot of young players in League Two that are looking promising that wouldn't cost a lot of money at all. But we don't seem to be signing them. We seem to make, you know, academy graduates, we'll sign an under-23 player every now and then. But I think the model at the moment isn't quite how I'd like to see it. I think if we signed a few, you know, the same way Luton and Brentford have done back in the day, you know, they sign a young player, he ends up being a first team footballer for them, and then suddenly he's worth a few million pounds. I'd like to see us do a bit more than that, because, you know, at the moment we're still paying the likes of Nico, Charlie Owens. You know, they're reaching 24, 25 now. At what point are we going to say they're not of talent anymore? They're not someone that's going to work for us anymore, because we're paying the wages of these players, and they're not contributing. They've got no chance of going in the first team. Gamble on cheap young players that are in League Two that have a bit about them and see what happens. It's an investment.
I certainly would like to see a bit more of that, Ollie. I do agree. I think it is important to note that the board are writing a pretty significant check each month to keep the club afloat. So, like, they are invested in that sense. But I do agree with your point. How invested are they with, like, that side of things, like with improving the clubs, improving the ground? Like, there's, you know, there's a lot of empty seats at Loftus Road. There's a lot of issues with the stadium. Like, I don't know. Just feels like there's a bit of neglection. Don't know. That's just... Maybe it's just a poor run of results and we're all kind of overreacting, but it definitely feels like more can be done at the club.
I think we're overreacting, though. I don't know. I just feel like when things are going well at QPR, everything's amazing, isn't it? But as soon as we hit a dodgy bit of water, something, a couple of runs, a couple of bad injuries, it doesn't take a lot to push the ship over, does it? And it just happens every season. And I just don't, again, it goes like hand in hand with the cup run. It's that mentality. It's the when we need players to dig in, for some reason they just don't seem to be able to do it. It's why we do well against the better teams, right? When we've got someone who comes in with a battle at home, gets stuck in. I don't know. We just seem to not be able to. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's like, I felt like we were having this chat this time last year. That are the board going to actually commit to our like promotion push that we thought we were going to be on? We were all saying, the board get this window right, we'll be right up in there in the playoffs. And they didn't. They didn't. We signed Jeff Hendrick last day of the season, like last day of the window. Like, where's the ambition from the board? Like, who's making the decisions at board level that actually are affecting the club the whole way through? What?
Yeah, agree, Doug.
It just feels like it is literally on the back burner of some of the board members' minds. Like, where's Fernandez? We haven't heard from him, seen from him in donkeys. Like, just sell his share. If he's that uninterested, sell his share.
Yeah.
I like Amit, but he is a bit, like, it'd be good to get something from him, wouldn't it? A bit more from him, from your owner. What's he thinking? What's the plans? Like, it's just very radio silent, isn't it? Les Ferdinand seems to be the figurehead to all of it.
Unless we get a big win, then he jumps on Twitter. Great result for the lads. Yeah. Do you know what? I know it's kind of straight past the striker situation now, but I've just seen that Millwall are looking at the Rotherham striker, Chidozie Ogbeen, who's out of contract in the summer and could be available for less than 500k. He scored 6 goals and got an assist this season in 20 games. That he's only 25 years old. He scored that many for Rotherham. He scored a lot more for us. That's the player we should be looking at.
Irish international, really good player.
Yeah.
And he killed us at Loftus Road a few seasons ago, I remember. Someone with a bit of pace and a bit of power is we can't seem to get both. We can't seem to get either. Like, we get one in maybe one player, one in the other. But
they always.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When we're linked to somebody, another club comes in and I always think, wow, surely they're going to pick us over them. And it's the opposite way around. Like, they always pick the other club over us. I just never understand why we aren't drawing players in anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Millwall friend who was messaging me this morning saying he's heard in their forums that they're signing Jamal Lowe, and I'm thinking, bloody hell, no way. But then I'm thinking back and sitting back and thinking, well, why wouldn't he go there over us? Do you know what I mean? Like, they're above us in the league. They've got, they look like they've got more of a chance of going up. I don't know. It's just frustrating, isn't it? The other lad looks like he's going to Hull from Crystal Palace. I mean, who wants to go to Hull? You know the lad from Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like...
What do we think about Ilias Chair? Do we think that they're... Do we think he's... Is he the person to turn this around, this form?
I think if he had striker,
we rely on him too much.
I don't think so. I feel like every team has that player that you're going to rely on. You know, the same way that, you know, if you took someone like Odegaard out of Arsenal, they'd suffer. I think relying on Cher would be okay, but you can't rely on someone when he hasn't got someone to pass it through to and guarantee goals. I think if you put, for example, and I know backtracking every season we say this, but if we still had Naki Wells and Ilias Chair in the same team, I think Chair could end up with the top assist in the league this season because he has it in his locker.
The thing is, Chair, I'm sure I saw a statistic that said Chair has created the most big chances in the Championship this season anyway.
Yeah.
If he's making this many chances, it just shows we are lacking someone clinical to put them away.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with relying on your best player or one of two best players, is there, like, for a chance creation? But you're right, you need someone, or not just Dykes. Obviously, his job is to score goals, but you need goals from midfield. There's not enough goals from midfield either.
I also think it's a worrying fact that Chair also has the highest number of shots from outside the box in the Championship. Like, it clearly shows he's getting to the edge of the box. He's thinking, there's no options, I'm just going to shoot. He's also got the highest goals from outside the box, but he's not going to score a worldie every other game.
Yeah, there was that run, wasn't there, under Beale, where we were winning games and Chair and Willett were just scoring for fun from outside the box. And you're thinking,
yeah,
great, but it's the stats will say it's never sustainable to be like outscoring your supposed expected goals by that much every time, because eventually, you know, you're not going to score from every shot from outside the box. But,
what you need then is a striker, someone who's going to get on the end of something, something completely random, or, you know, a ball, you know, a nothing ball in the box or over the top or something to sort of, you know.
And we've got Alfie Lloyd, quite a few for Eastleigh in the first minute. Yeah. He keeps scoring inside the first minute. Kelman's gone off the boil a bit at Leighton Orient, so he might be better served staying there for the full season. But, you know, we need bodies if we can't sign anyone.
But everyone we speak to says Kelman's the most natural finisher.
Right.
Like, so surely if he's in the team and Chair's making that many chances, is he not going to put a few more away than someone like Dykes?
It's getting to the point where it's worth a punt, like, isn't it?
Well, we've given Armstrong a chance. Why won't we give Kelman a chance?
I argue that we haven't.
What I mean, like, in comparison to Kelman, Armstrong's had more appearances, really, or been in this first team squad more than Kelman has.
I think Armstrong's a bit of a frustration for me. I don't know what we're waiting for. I don't get it. I know Beale said he wants to, but Beale said he wants to get him in and around the first team, wants to, you know, get that experience. But if we're not playing him at all, I think how many minutes has he played, Jack? It's hardly anything like that.
Give me a second.
I just think that if we're not going to play him, then let's load him out to a league. We're telling one up, getting ready for next season. You know, there's been games this season that we could have stuck him on, and he could have, but we haven't. So that makes me think maybe Critchley doesn't trust him as much as Beale does, or doesn't maybe thinks he's as rawer than. Do you know what I mean? Maybe Beale had a bit more faith in bringing him on. I don't know. But even then, towards the end of Beale's reign, he wasn't really playing him at all, was he? Leaving him out of match day squads.
Yeah, he's only played 319 minutes in all comps. So it's not a lot, is it? That's three games worth, pretty much. So four games, that is. So
he needs a goal, doesn't he? He needs a goal.
Again, yeah, exactly, to get going. But if he's not going to get the minutes, it's harder for him to score, obviously. So if Critchley doesn't fancy him just yet, then he has to go on loan. I know his pace and power is useful, but we don't want to waste him. He needs to develop properly. So maybe he needs to go on loan if they're going to get reinforcements in the attacking areas.
Ollie, what's your early signs, early views of Critchley, mate?
I think... Do you know, it's a bit confusing because I feel like one game we look positive and then the next we play like we did against Fleetwood. I like his honesty in the interviews. I think that's rare. I think Bill kind of sugarcoated everything when he had interviews after losses. But I don't think it's necessarily his fault. I think he's dealing with, in terms of a lot of injuries, a lot of kind of not understanding where players are played best or who the best centre-back pairing is. I think my one reservation is he does seem to leave subs very late, and maybe the wrong subs as well. I think the Sheffield United game, the negative subs possibly lost us that win. It's a bit of a difficult one because, you know, we're hiring someone that was Blackpool manager before who pretty much made us look like awful against Blackpool. I like him and I think he'll be good for us, but I think he needs time and I think he needs backing from the board because he's coming into the foundations that Warburton laid, that Bill played around with and potentially ruined, and he's just kind of left with what's left.
What do you think, mate?
I was going to say, like, it kind of feels like it's like a mediocre appointment. Like, the board knew he was available for nothing, and rather than spend money on a manager or go out and really, like, I don't know, it just felt like the easy option at the time to get somebody in who has a little bit of a reputation in the Championship, obviously with Blackpool and stuff, doing fairly, like, punching above his weight almost with Blackpool. But it just kind of feels like, I don't feel like he's the man who's going to take us to the next level. Like, I just feel like that, like, just lacks, like, it's just QPR all over, isn't it? There's no ambition with it as a manager. I feel like Bill was trying to take us up a level. I don't feel like Critchley coming in is doing the same thing.
Cheap appointment, isn't it?
He's free. We'll pay a little bit of money to get his mates out of these other clubs. Like, it's just us all over, isn't it? Like, we're trying to do everything on a budget, trying to then hopefully, if I buy one lottery ticket a year, I might win the Euro Millions. It's never going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, my opinion on Critchley, I mean, I think he's got a fairly decent body of work with Blackpool. Obviously, his track record in Liverpool, he's very highly rated at Liverpool. Did give me a little Paul Hart vibe, if I'm being a little bit sensationalist, just by his demeanour and sort of the football was quite dour. And obviously, it's foolish to judge a manager this soon into his tenure and when they're not his players. So for a start, like, I've gotten over that fact. I mean, he has the same one draw loss record as Paul Hart, but I won't go any further on that. But I think he's not the problem. I think he needs time. He needs a chance to rebuild the squad in his vision. And I think he'll do an okay job. I mean, whether he will take us to the next level, I agree with Duncan. It's hard to really think that's going to be the case. But I did rate his post-Fleetwood interview. I thought that was the first time I actually felt engaged with him and agreed with what he was saying. And I thought, you know, he said some damning things. You know, basically, he admitted from afar there's a perception of the squad and of the players of their inconsistency and why they do that. Obviously, he didn't reveal why, but, you know, it's a mentality issue, as we keep coming back to on this podcast. I mean, with managers, we don't tend to get a bounce. I mean, it's quite interesting. Critchley won one of his first five. Bill won one of his first six. Warburton won one of his first five. McLaren, one of his first five in all comps. Holloway, one win in the first seven. Hasselbank, none of his first eight. Just to name a few of them. So, let's see if he can turn things around. You know, I'm sure he will. But I feel like he needs a bit of backing from the board, especially this month.
But do you think he's going to get it?
Yeah.
It's another question, isn't it? Completely. I'm not sure. Not unless. Not sure.
He deflected, like the post match interview. I thought was a good. He did well there, didn't he? Really, because he showed a bit of emotion at the right time, but he deflected a little bit away from him, really, to the players, which is right. But that interview could have gone another way, couldn't it? If he was, you know, trying to praise his players, because you know that's happened before, hasn't it? Where it's not the players' fault; they gave everything kind of interview. But no, it's too early. It's too early to say. But he's got a lot of issues to deal with, I think. Striking issue is a problem. We set pieces is an issue. Our centre midfield is still an issue, and it has been for yonks. So it's just a bit frustrating. What are we thinking about Dieng? Is anyone seeing anything? I don't know. I feel like he's getting a bit frustrated. He looks a bit frustrated. I don't know if anyone else is seeing that.
Poor. Compared to the level he was on,
He's been poor on him.
Yeah, I think he's been poor. You know, I think he pulls off a save every now and then, but I don't think he commands his box too well anymore. You know, last season I loved watching him command his box and, you know, go up for corners and not. I don't mean score goals. I mean at our end, you know, coming out, all that kind of stuff. I just think this season he seems to lack confidence or back himself. We've seen quite a few times where we've conceded goals because of a save that he's palmed to the feet of another player. Or I'm not saying that I don't rate him, because I really do. I just think alongside plenty of other players this season, he's just lost that special ability that he has. I don't know what, but he just hasn't seemed like the same goalkeeper as he was in the last few seasons.
Anyone else? Any more?
Do you feel like it's too many? Like, we've had like three managers in what, 8 months, 9 months since obviously Warburton left it back in the last season. So there's most of the squad were there for Warburton. Then we've had Beale, his tried to put his little stamp and tweak it his way. Now we've got Critchley. Do you think players are like, I don't really know whether I'm coming or going? Am I playing it out? Am I playing it short? Like, I feel like Senny is one of those ones where the back four hasn't really been stable this season. There's been a lot of swapping and changing of centre backs, especially. That, as a goalkeeper, must surely make you think, hang on, I know that Jimmy plays this way. I know Rob plays this way. Obviously, like, Carl Salt is going to play this way. Like, when they're all swapping and changing, surely that's going to affect him and his confidence a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's suffering, isn't he, from a dip, like the rest of them. And I feel like he can be a little bit quiet sometimes in terms of organising the defence, but the defence is interchangeable. It keeps changing. And I think communication's been an issue with Dunn and Dickey in recent games. You know, people not knowing their jobs, being in the wrong positions. Dieng, a couple of strange decisions against Fleetwood. I agree. He can definitely play a lot better than he has been.
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention it because he just feels like the vibes I get from him is that he's a bit annoyed with the situation, with what's going on, the dip in form again. It happened last season. I don't know if he's got high expectations, been at Senegal, World Cup, comes, do you know what I mean? I don't know. We'll see on that one. Just quickly on the manager front, I was having an interesting chat yesterday with someone about sort of the worst managers that we've seen in QPR's history. and we brought up some interesting names out of the dark that I'd forgotten about. I don't know if you lads have got any, but I'll start. Well, you've already mentioned his name, but I always think back to Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank and how terrible of an appointment that was, and how awful going to watch games was. It was just so bad. I remember Burton at home one year, and we just, it was. I don't even think the ball went in the box either end for the whole 90 minutes. It was 0-0. What was it, Jack? He didn't win any game of his first 8 games.
Yeah, he had one of the worst like starts to a managerial tenure at QPR. But the football there under him was depressing, wasn't it, at times? And we still had the parachute money then, and I feel like what a wasted opportunity that was. Not giving maybe Warnock another crack, but you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a name out there, if that's all right.
Go on.
I'm going to go Ray Harford. I mean, he's statistically got one of the worst win percentages, you know, of post-war QPR managers, possibly even all time. And that 97-98 season where we stayed up on the final day with the Jamie Pollock own goal at Man City. QPR had won fewer games than any other team in that division. The three relegated teams won more than QPR that year. We did a club record 19 draws in that season. So, yeah, and then he obviously went shortly after into the next season. But I thought he was particularly poor. And as a sort of 10-year-old QPR fan, you know, trying to really, you know, enjoy my QPR, I could tell even back then it was not very good. So I'd have to put him up there. I mean, you got...
What's Houston's record? I remember he was awful. I remember. Was he awful?
Yeah, he was sort of Stuart Houston. Let me find him. He won just under 40% of his games. But again, he had a team like there was a pretty decent championship team on paper, wasn't it? Some of the players he still had. But yeah, no, he was a real disappointment as well. The big hype coming from Arsenal and all that sort of history, but. Yeah, he wasn't very good, but he won 40% of his 63 games. So he doesn't rank in a win percentage terms. He's sort of quite middle. But yeah, Gary Waddock, he wasn't particularly good. That was a bit of a struggle that era.
Ramsey when he was in charge.
Yeah.
God, that was bad.
Again, that team for that level, could have done a lot better.
Nothing's worse than Paul Hart, right? Nothing's worse than Paul Hart. I still have nightmares of that bloke in that coat. He used to wear that coat. I always remember.
It reminds me of when you say Ramsey, when was it Tony that came out with that tweet saying he's got his dream manager and everyone was like, oh, is he going to be European manager?
We thought it was going to be amazing manager.
Yeah, comes
Paul
out.
Paul Clement, wasn't it? They're after Paul Clement, and it was,
throwing managers out there. I mean, that's the thing. I do feel like we've had amazing managers. I think, obviously, Mark Hughes is the obvious choice as well. There was a discussion on Twitter the other day. I don't know much about him, but Tommy Doherty, apparently that was a bit of a crazy, crazy time at QPR. So obviously, I don't remember him. But for me, I mean, it's got to be the worst three of Hasselbank, Ramsey and Hughes, for me, what I can remember anyway.
Hughes got appointed on this day, didn't he, in 20?
Yeah.
It's weird with Hughes because he kept us up that season, didn't he? I mean, I don't like him because of what he did.
We weren't in the relegation zone when we fired Warnock, though, were we?
We weren't
in the bottom three when Warnock left. So I'm not having it that he kept us up because I know we weren't doing well, but Warnock hadn't really been backed. He had, the last three days of the window before? That was our biggest mistake. That was definitely the biggest mistake we've made in recent history.
Warnock said that on the podcast, didn't he? He said that when he was let go, it's a complete surprise to him. And he said, no disrespect to Hughes. When he came in, he said that that he thinks it'll be a massive mistake letting him go and bringing Hughes in.
He was in the stands. I was listening to his podcast the other day with Steve Bruce, and he said that he was in the stands watching the games. Typical Tony Fernandez.
The contrast between Hughes at Loftus Road versus his away form, at Loftus Road, we won 7 of the 11 games under Mark Hughes in the 2012 season, which we stayed up in all competitions. Then away from home, we didn't win a game in that season. We lost 8 of 9. So, real talking cheap. Yeah.
Was it under Redknapp where we went? I think it's in the Premier League under Redknapp. We went so many games without winning away from home. And then I think the first result we got in the Premier League was Sunderland or something. I think it might have been a draw. With that season, I can't remember what season it was. It was so boring.
Yeah, it was the Premier League season, wasn't it? With Redknapp in charge. We couldn't buy a point away from home at all, could we?
That's 2014-15, wasn't it? And then it was a crazy losing run of 12 away games. And then when Chris Ramsey took us up to Sunderland, we won 2-0, I think, tomorrow.
Leroy Fair scored.
I remember that one.
And we all thought he was going to do it. And then didn't. Anyway, lads, quickly, before we finish, try and finish on a positive note. Couple of positive... Anyone got any? I'm just going to mention Sam Field. I thought... out of everything that's happened over the past sort of few months, I feel like he has been a positive. No one's going to buy him for sort of 10, 15, 20 million, I don't think. But I think he's probably been one of the only positives that's come out of it. Taken over the captaincy as well, hasn't he, since Johansson?
Yeah,
I think Field and like Kenneth Powell, I like I know his performances as well, haven't been brilliant recently. He's not, like, he set quite a high standard for himself at the start of the season. But I think it's, he's the kind of signing that's working out, because for, to come to us was almost a step up for him. Like, that's, we've given him his bigger chance, as it were. I feel like a lot of the other players we sign, it's like they see it as a step down. So I feel like he's really taken his chance. And I think, so for me, I'd say Kenneth Bowles, like, done well. He's a positive.
Yeah, I'd say, for me, I think it's quite a bold statement. I think Sam Field's probably been our, probably one of our best signings in the last few years. You know, I know we've had the Willock, etc., but I don't, I can't think of a game where Sam Field was poor. You know, I think not he recently. Gets us out of trouble a lot. Even recently, throughout the kind of stuff that we've been going through on the pitch, I feel like he's still been there. I think without him, I mean, if he got injured again, which touch wood, he doesn't, I think we'd be in trouble. You know, he's like that mate that always gets you out of trouble when you're on a night out. He's just always there, like he'll peer out of nowhere and just get you out of the stuff. So I think he's been outstanding. Paul, I think Laird's fell off, but yeah, other than that, really positive with Fieldham.
I think
Aaron Boodham as well. I don't know, mentioned him. I thought he's been a good, he's only a young member. I think he's been good. Still got some developing to do, but
going Dortmund.
No, I think that's right about Field. I think when we signed him, he came with an injury track record and he got injured a bit and it took a while to get fit. Then he got injured in the summer. But ever since he had that knee surgery to correct the long-standing issue, he's pretty much been ever present. And I think he's so important to how we play. I think people realise it a lot more now generally because he doesn't really play flashy, does he? And I think sometimes players can get slacked off because they look a bit basic with their play. But what he does, covering the ground, picking up the ball, you know, it is important to the team. And with, you know, we struggle because we don't have a direct replacement for that type of player. I mean, Irabunum clearly is a level above ability-wise, natural ability and where he can go. But and because he's young, he's unfortunately inconsistent and he's learning on QPR's time instead of an Amos or a Dizel or, you know, and that is, you know, a potential issue further down the line when the contracts need renewing. But for me, a positive is the under-18 lad, Rayan Colley, signing a new contract. Well, his first professional contract, should I say. I think that's good news because from the small amount I've seen him in, the cup games and the youth games and the reports I've read about him, he seems like a cut above quite a few in that level. So I think that's really good, you know, good to get him signed to a deal. And you never know, maybe we might see him, because I heard he's been training with the first team occasionally, so maybe he's one to watch out for. But I mean, that was a positive.
Yeah.
Probably run out of positives there, haven't we? so we got Reading next then. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't think anyone in here is going to predict anything, really. It could be, Reading are one of those teams, they could turn you over 3-0, but you could also go there and win 3-0, I think. So you'd like to think that the lads would want to put a performance in, you know, sold out away end again. You'd think that they'd want to put it in, but you know, Sheffield United type performance, you know, a bit like a Preston performance where they sort of dig in and you see a bit of battling. But I don't think Reading's not going to be easy, is it, Reading?
No, I've not. I think we can get a result. But at the moment, just because the stale results at the moment, it just kind of reminds you when we went there and we had that last minute penalty and everyone pulled back and stuck Bidwell on it, who missed in the last minute. Like
honestly, we were there, I can't believe that.
Yeah, so was I as well. I just think of that. But I think if the lads are serious about the season, they want to win the fans back, they go out there and get a good result. I don't mean a 1-0 spread. I mean a win. A win. That's what we need from them.
Doug, what, any changes? What would you do?
I think it's like what can we do to make it the changes? We haven't really got the squad depth to mix it up or change it around too much. Like, I feel like Critchley, he's got to really get into them this week in training. He's got to really, if they don't come out first 10, 15 minutes, like all guns blazing kind of thing, like we're really to go out and take the game to Reading, then I think it's going to be a long afternoon. If we just kind of come out and, okay, let's just keep the ball, let's just play tentatively, I think we're just going to be on to hiding again.
difficult to play the other way, though, isn't it? I'm not bringing it back to Dykes, but it's difficult, isn't it? When you're hitting the ball to Dykes, waiting for him to hold it up to get Chair and Willock involved, especially away from, you know, I always find. What do you think, Jack?
Well, I mean, I would like to see someone like Taylor Richards maybe get a run out.
Yeah.
Because in the brief appearances he's made in the league, he's looked like he could do something. Again, maybe he's working his fitness up. He seems to be a bit injury prone at the moment. But I mean, in terms of championship teams this season, Reading have won the highest share of points at home than any other team. So they're very strong at home. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy task. But, you know, the last time we did a league double over Reading was the 2010-11 season under Neil Warnock, and we won promotion. So if we do win, surely it's an omen, and it's not too late to make a charge.
I'd see three at the back as well, wouldn't I? But I just, where's Saltwater and
Balogun? He's waiting for that 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 sort of thing, doesn't he? Yeah. But he seems to want to play wingers, so...
Yeah. But we haven't got any.
Yeah.
Albert.
Yeah. I'd like to see three at the back. I know this won't happen, but I'd like to see like Salter, Balogun and Dickey or Dunn, the two fullbacks. And then I'd like to see like Johansson, Field, and then Richards, Chair and Willock. I don't know how that would even work. I don't know.
So you're dropping Tim?
I just think we miss Johansson massively. I honestly do. I think we miss him. His leadership, just everything. We just, not saying that he's the best player in the world, and you know, but I just think we've massively missed him, and we've missed Balogun as well. I think so. It'd be good to get them back.
I mean, the sooner the better. I don't know how far off he is with his injury progress, but he seems to be back training now. But yeah, he's massively missed. The sooner he's back.
He's got 8 goals and assists this season, isn't he? 2 goals, 6 assists.
He was flying.
He's
been vital before his injury, wasn't he? Absolutely, yeah. Flying. And I thought Tim played a bit better. Like, it gives Tim a bit of an extra license to go forward. And
yeah,
Hansen's a bit. Dazelle, he's a bit cleverer, isn't he? And yeah. Right then, lads. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll catch up next week, and hopefully, we will have a bit more positive spin on things, positive result. Yeah. Maybe a couple of signings. Would you reckon?
Yeah. No chance.
I'm not being optimistic for that.
Cool. Okay. Thanks everyone for listening, lads. Have a great rest of the evening, and up the ours.
Yeah. You ours.
You ours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.